Buenos días.
Buenos días.
Let's try that again. Buenos días.
Buenos días.
All right, it's not too hard, not too hard. I haven't had a coffee either, so. So I'm going to go through my slides. I have a lot, so I'm going to go quickly. These slides are available on NASDAQ's website, and I think they're also available on APHA, or will be, if you pay,
if
I think.
You
right, if you bought the packet. But also, I could also email to you. My email's at the end of the presentation. So, a través de nuestros ojos, through our eyes, promoting health and social health equity. And so this, before I get started, I want to, speak to you briefly about NASDAQ. For those who don't know who NASDAQ is, we are an organization based in D.C., and we represent the health departments of every state. So every state has a health department. Within a health department, there's an Office of AIDS, and there's a director, hence the name, the National Alliance of State and Territorial AIDS Directors. And so we do a lot of advocacy work on the Hill. We do a lot of research, white papers. We do provide a lot of technical assistance. And so, for example, the state of Iowa gets a grant from CDC. But Massachusetts has been doing it for a while. We try to connect those two states and help them provide each other kind of peer-to-peer TA. And we also sit on a lot of coalitions, and one of them that I mentioned was the NLAN, which is the National Latino AIDS Action Network, where we try to provide the public health voice and the health department voice at the table. And so, as you see before you, the mission and vision of NASDAQ. Just briefly, my presentation, I'm going to go through the background and methodology, go through kind of the four key findings from the project, and then some summary elements. And so last year, NASDAQ, in partnership with the sister organization, the National Coalition of STD Directors, we launched a statement of urgency to really make sure the health departments are addressing the epidemic in their states. And so this meant resource allocation, program development, et cetera. And so this is kind of this project is kind of in line with that statement of urgency that we released last year. And as many know, the National HIV Strategy was released as well last year. And so this is also kind of following the recommendations and the roadmap that the National HIV Strategy was given us last year by the president. And in the strategy, those are the four main kind of key elements that was put forth for us. And so some of the objectives of this study, and so just to give you some background, this study was financed through the Office of AIDS Research at NIH. And so this is part of NIH. OAR has a five-year Hispanic initiative looking at HIV and AIDS in the Latino Hispanic community. And so this is part of that program. And so some of the objectives that we were looking at to address were some looking at the gaps and barriers and facilitators in terms of provision of HIV services for Latino gay men in particular. Looking at kind of the collaboration elements and information needed for Latino gay men. And so throughout the PowerPoint, you're going to see LGM, so it's kind of Latino gay men. And also looking at increasing access to care and looking at what our services are being in place and what partnerships are needed. We did this study with two consultants out of Columbia University in New York, Dr. Diana Hernandez and Dr. Edgar Rivera Coron. The methodology that we used, it was a 9-month qualitative study in which we had focus groups with health department staff, with service providers, as well as consumers, essentially those that are getting prevention services, as well as care and treatment services. We went to 12 jurisdictions, and so 11 states and Puerto Rico. In those jurisdictions, we went to both the big metropolitan areas as well as the rural communities. We wanted to make sure that when we went to Illinois, we weren't just getting the stories from Chicago. So we went down 3 hours south to Arcola, Illinois. Does anyone know what Arcola, Illinois is? Anyone from Illinois? All right. So we did that kind of that style for all of our states, with the exception of one. Just for disclaimer, we didn't do that in Colorado. We only went to Denver. But anyone from Denver? Okay. And so we did interviews again with the health department staff, usually the state health department, but then we also in some jurisdictions had focus interviews with county and city health departments. And for example, in California, we met with the San Francisco Department of Health as well as the Los Angeles Department of Health. And so we used a purposive sampling strategy, which basically as our members, as AIDS directors, we reached out to the health department. Then the health department then reached out to their service providers. And then the service providers helped us do the outreach at the local level to get consumers. And so because we were based either New York and D.C., we weren't able to go to North Carolina a week before, try to recruit consumers to be in the focus group. So that is our methodology and also to some degree some of our limitations. We looked at both in terms of identifying the jurisdictions. We looked at where there's been historically Latino communities, but also where there's an emerging community. So we did some deep south states as well. We did, again, as I mentioned, we went to both small and big cities and towns to kind of get a better perspective from that state. And so before you have the 12 jurisdictions and kind of how they lay out in terms of their demographics, the percentage change in population. So you see there's a huge growth, for example, in Minnesota. There's 86.4% percent change. And then you also see kind of how they rank in terms of U.S. new AIDS cases, and then also kind of the population and the region that HHS uses, the regions. This is just for those visual folks who would like to see a map. And so some limitations of the studies I mentioned before. Consumers were selected by service providers. We understand that's a huge limitation. We weren't able to reach those possibly that aren't in service. But we were hoping that folks we know that folks recruited their friends who may not be getting services. So we know we had some folks who were out of service. And again, when I mean services, I don't just mean getting, you know, care and treatment or, you know, that they're HIV positive, but also prevention messages and focus group or support groups and that sort of. And in some groups, we had a huge turnout where there is kind of standing room only. And there are some rooms we can lay down on some chairs if we wanted to. So it wasn't always the same amount of folks in every room, unfortunately. So that is definitely a limitation. And so now I'm going to go quickly, I don't know how I'm doing with time, through the four themes. And this is without coffee, so. The first theme is collaboration. It's 5 minutes. And so you see kind of some key themes that came out of the topic of collaboration. We saw this conversation, this topic come out in all the focus groups that we visited. We had both the health department, the service providers, and the community. And so a lot of the health departments were having trouble or having a challenge with collaboration on the state level in terms of connecting with the Department of Education, Department of, you know, Corrections or whatever. So they were having some challenges, and they were trying to identify how to best to suit those or address those challenges. And also at the provider, on the provider side, there was a lack of culture. There wasn't really a culture of collaboration. Folks felt like, as you see in the second bullet, they were competitive. And so they saw their fellow CBOs, community-based organizations, as their competitors. And so because of that, they weren't wanting to collaborate or share their best ideas together, to come together. And so that's a challenge, obviously, as you're serving the community, when organizations are not wanting to partner with each other. And given the realities and given the fiscal strains that we are in, you know, collaboration is very important, and so partnerships are very important. So that was the challenge that we saw across, I think, in every state that we went to, or jurisdiction, because Puerto Rico is not a state. So in every jurisdiction. And so that was one of the overarching things that came out. But then we did see at the last bullet some examples of some successful strategies. We had, for example, in the Midwestern state, we had a small HIV organization needing kind of a fiscal manager because they were just having challenges in doing their budgets and all that kind of stuff. And then we had a larger organization who's been doing great work in the community but hasn't been doing any HIV work. And so we saw a merger there. So we saw the smaller organization kind of get that skill set or get that expertise in terms of fiscal management and organizational development, and then we had this organization get the HIV expertise. So that merger seemed beneficial for the community because there was a win-win situation. Also, health departments are talking about using existing activities that weren't necessarily HIV-focused, and so they were able to go to and provide testing kits. And so all they had to do was provide the testing. They didn't have to put together the whole shindig, just the testing. So they were looking at ways to maximize opportunities. Here are some quotes in terms of the collaboration piece, and these are all pulled from the report, which is also available at nasta.org. Theme two, capacity. This was actually this also was very resounding in all the jurisdictions around the lack of capacity. And so there was, in the whole country, in terms of health departments, there's only one state that has a Latino AIDS director. And so that was, and then when you look in, thank you, when you look in within their senior managers, there's very limited. So there isn't that capacity in terms of Latinos working within the health department. And so that's been a challenge, and the health departments have identified it themselves in terms of how can we recruit, how can we retain, how can we grow our Latino staff. And that's not even speaking Latino gay men. I'm just speaking Latino generally. And then at the CBOs, we had two CBOs, community-based organizations. We have those that are, let's say, primarily Latino serving, and then we have those that are kind of general public serving, like the broader community. In these smaller, like Latino-focused organizations, there was this opportunity to grow. Oftentimes, folks came in as clients, as volunteers, came into outreach positions, and then senior managers, and et cetera. But in that growth or in those opportunities, they weren't given professional development skills. And so when they're writing grants, they're struggling because, you know, while they have the passion and the energy and expertise in terms of on the ground, they don't have the skill set. So there's a capacity issue there. In these organizations, the other example of a larger organization, the folks were feeling that there is a glass tower or glass ceiling. And so, you know, they were there. There was one example, and I'm going to move forward because my time is ticking. The pay attention to the first quote is that this gentleman has 3 degrees, had 2 masters and a bachelor's, but he was so good at speaking Spanish that every time a new job came up, they felt his supervisor were like, "You're just so good at as an outreach worker," you know. And here he is having this energy to really move up the organization, but felt like he wasn't able to provide that opportunity. And so there's a lot of these conversations that we had across the country. So this is when I get my Puerto Rican fast back, even though I'm not Puerto Rican. But so some culture, I'm not going to, you know, a lot of this, we always talk about Latinos and culture. That's all we talk about. But it's very important, as you know, in our community. And so these are some elements that came out around stigma, discrimination at the various levels, the belief of family and personalismo. And in looking at religion serving as a source of self-esteem and cultural identity, but also kind of as a place of homophobia and more judgment. So there's this kind of dichotomy in terms of what the faith and religion was playing for some individuals. And here's a quote that is focusing on culture. Sorry that I'm going really fast. So this is kind of where we caught everything else, challenges and constraints. Obviously, the economic downturn was a huge issue for a lot of health departments and CBOs as they're trying to figure out how to make sure they stay afloat and still provide services in their states. Obviously, immigration was a huge issue in many jurisdictions, one of those being Arizona that we were in. So that was very front and center and kind of the division actually within the Latino community around immigration, given generational background, if you were here first generation or fifth generation Latino. And so other, you know, discrimination, lack of centralized information, kind of needing, and one thing that came out from all groups is that they need a space just to hang out. Not necessarily a bar, not necessarily a support group, but they have to kind of get drilled down those messages around HIV and condom. It's just a place just to hang out, where they're just hanging out with their friends and not necessarily having to do condom demonstrations or having to have a drink because they're at the bar. So there's a need for that. Here's some quick quotes. The last one I think is really interesting around, you know, CDC, and rightfully so, is pushing a lot of like test. But as you see, there's a lot of challenges. Once you get HIV, you find out you're HIV positive, and then what? So there's a lot of feeling of like, okay, now I'm HIV positive, but there's nothing for me in terms of like navigating through the system. You know, imagine being a young Latino youth who's gay, who may not be out to his family, whose family may not speak English, and so having to navigate the system by himself is, and that actually was the quote from Los Angeles. And then just quickly, you know, there's a lot of need and desire to develop leadership and professional development. We need to make sure if you find the opportunities to cultivate that. There's a few spaces to socialize and experience group level education. As I mentioned, there's a lot of courage and hope. A lot of Latinos come to the States with that energy to work and to grow, and then they're faced with challenges, as I mentioned before, in terms of the glass ceiling. And then there's all these elements around resources, the cultural norms, and then this is just the report, my email address, and just to let you know, the way we framed the report was that, in a not-so-fast and non-Puerto Rican way, is that we broke it up in terms of the findings, and then we have actually recommendations at the end that are targeted. So we have a series of recommendations for health departments, a series of recommendations for federal partners, so CDC, HRSA, et cetera, a series of recommendations for service providers, and then a series of recommendations for communities, because also, you know, this epidemic needs to be addressed holistically by all our parties, and so the community, Latinos, also have a play in that. And so we also have some recommendations for how we can mobilize community members. So thank you.